for a lifetime income.org.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lorai. Well, coming up, we'll open the phone lines to talk about the resignation of Justice Anthony Kennedy from the U.S. Supreme Court. But before we do that, Governor Scott, who opposed high-speed rail under President Obama, is now in favor of a version of high-speed rail. We'll look at the kind of high-speed rail the governor favors. It's been in the works on Florida's East Coast for more than 5 years, but has run into lots of opposition, and we're going to find out why in just a moment. First, four listener comments about yesterday's program. One comment is about the conservative opinions issued by the U.S. Supreme Court yesterday. The rest of the comments are about my question yesterday: what caused the growing incivility in American politics? Here's what several listeners had to say.
It's Gary from Dunedin. I'm sure you might already have this planned, but here in the progressive community, everybody I know today, Wednesday, is just full of pent-up ideas and wanting to talk about the Gorsuch Court. You know, this week, they have handed down some of the most horrific right-wing rulings, you know, to destroy public unions, to legalize fake reproductive health clinics lying to women, to back a racist, xenophobic travel ban, to back American Express. Just every bad thing they could have done, they've done. And it's all because the Dems didn't fight hard enough to put Obama's pick on the court, and because Trump got elected. And these rulings should be discussed, and your audience wants to talk about these things. I know you have pre-planned topics and stuff, but sometimes when there's such a huge, you know, volcanic eruption in the news cycle, like what SCOTUS has done this week, it would be good, because your show is the best forum on MNF to, you know, have those of us in the progressive community talk about what this means, the implications of this right-wing court. Thanks a lot, man.
I was listening to your show. I think the civility kind of reared its ugly head when Obama was in office, with the hatred that was spread, was spewed out from the Republican Congress. It started there. The seeds were sown, and it's almost come to fruition with this, with Trump. It's out of control, and it's really difficult to find an answer to this sort of thing. I try to be the best person I can. It's really, really hard.
Good morning, Rob. My name is Rick. And I'm believing that civility more or less went out the window when a presidential candidate mocked a reporter with a disability. Surely there are examples of incivility, you know, prior to that, but I think that is the most recent and outrageous, and I believe that that just ushered in an era of uncivility or incivility. That being said, I'm thinking that the discussion isn't so much about incivility, it's the fact that Democrats, or lefties as they're called, are finally speaking out, and Republicans are not used to it, nor do they like it. In my opinion, it's about time, and it's not loud enough or frequent enough. As I like to say, you know, don't call me a snowflake until you have felt one of those icy snowflakes down your back on a winter day. It's not so nice. Thanks for the good work, Rob, and look forward to seeing more shows, hearing more shows like this. Thanks.
Hi, this is Jason St. Pete. I have a comment about Wednesday's show. I believe this mess and the division started when the Republicans in the House and Senate refused to work with President Obama. Before that, yes, they fought and they argued and they called each other names. But at the end of the day, they always found some kind of compromise or common ground to make sure that at least our country was being taken care of. When President Obama was elected, they said no. They weren't going to work with him. Everything was no. And I think that started all the hate that we see today, because then this guy in the White House, he didn't start racism, but he elevated it to a whole new level where we had Nazis marching in Charlottesville along with the KKK, and he called them, some of them, fine people. They're not fine people. And to me, that was just the last straw for me. This man is, he is a white supremacist. He wants to do away with the brown people and the black people in this country. And he shows that every day, everything he said, and he's doing it, which I knew he would. So I don't know what the answer is. I know Democrats tried to be nice about it all, but now they're at the point where they've had enough and they're starting to push back.
Some listener comments that came in after yesterday's program. You're listening to Radioactivity on WMNF in Tampa. Last Friday, Governor Rick Scott announced that state officials will consider private bids, to build a high-speed rail link between Tampa and Orlando. That would revive a dormant project to link the two cities. Early in his administration, Governor Rick Scott turned down $2.5 billion federal dollars that the Obama administration was offering to help Florida build a modern high-speed rail system linking Tampa, Orlando, and Miami. The Tampa Bay Times reported that Brightline, the private high-speed railroad now linking Miami and West Palm Beach with hopes of eventually reaching Orlando, said it has put in a bid to build track along Interstate 4, leasing land owned by the state and the Central Florida Expressway. Governor Scott said instead of placing taxpayers on the hook for hundreds of millions of dollars, our goal is for the private sector to invest in this project. Brightline's pitch has prompted the Florida Department of Transportation to open up for other competitive bids. Interested parties would have 120 days to submit proposals. But over on the East Coast, where Brightline has been trying to get underway for years, linking Miami to Orlando, there are a variety of problems. It's not actually high-speed rail. Taxpayers are helping to build the private Brightline project, and many residents think it's dangerous. Yesterday, I spoke with Brent Hanlon, chair of the group CARE, Citizens Against Rail Expansion. He's on Florida's East Coast in Martin County.
It's Gary from Dundee.
Brent Hanlon, welcome to WMNF. Nice to have you here.
Rob, thank you, and thank you, for you and the station for taking the time today and talking with me.
All right, let's start with the basics. You're with a group called Citizens Against Rail Expansion. What's the purpose of your group?
Thank you, Rob. Yeah, the purpose of our group is pretty simple, and that is to halt the Phase 2 project of All Aboard Florida and Brightline. Phase 2 is between West Palm Beach and Orlando. Phase one is operating today between West Palm and Miami. Our concerns all along have been with phase two, that second route between West Palm and Orlando.
All right. So what are your concerns with phase two?
Well, you know, our number one concern has always been safety and public safety. And I think we're already starting to see the effects of All Aboard Florida, Brightline down on phase one already with, I think, 8 or 9 casualties already. Since I think January. So, you know, just a little over 6 months of operation, and they've already had a number of casualties in along phase one. So, you know, obviously safety has been our biggest concern the entire time, and that remains today.
When you say casualties, are you talking about people being run over by trains? What's happening?
Yeah, there have been, apparently there's been a number of people who have been run over by trains, and I guess just recently, another vehicle casualty just this past weekend, I believe, where a train actually hit a vehicle. So, yeah, there have been a number of incidents already with an at-grade crossing, Rob, and, you know, no type of fencing around the corridor down on Phase 1. People have appears to, you know, for one reason or another, to be crossing the tracks, obviously at the wrong time, and are being hit.
Brent, is this Brightline project there on the East Coast, is this high-speed rail, or how fast do these trains go?
It's reported, Rob, that they're going to travel up to 80 miles an hour through our town and up to 110 miles an hour through Stewart. I don't know if it actually qualifies for a high-speed rail for the federal government. I believe that's at 150 miles an hour. But we understand that All Aboard Florida, Brightline, will be traveling somewhere near 120 miles an hour to Orlando.
All right, so sometimes these trains are going fairly fast, not high-speed rail fast, but they're going fairly fast, and they run over pedestrians, they run over cars, and crash into cars, or cars crash into them.
Yeah, as you can imagine, your response time is going to be much shorter. You know, the perception of a train, looking at, down a track and looking at a train, an oncoming train, is kind of, it's very hard actually to determine the speed of that train, and your perception is obviously not quite the same there. And with a train traveling up to 60, 70 miles an hour down in the Boynton Beach, Del Rey area already, we're seeing the effects of that, as we speak.
All right, in California, as they're building their high-speed rail, they're building overpasses, so the train out there in California that eventually, if it ever comes online, will eventually go pretty fast. Did they build overpasses for Brightline on Florida's East Coast?
No, Rob, there's over 300 at-grade crossings between Orlando and Miami. These are crossings that run through small towns, through Delray, Boynton Beach, Stewart, at grade. Obviously there's pedestrians at all these at grade crossings, vehicles. So it really introduces a very dangerous component, if you will, at these at grade crossings.
So has it changed the character of the towns that Brightline serves? I mean, I guess, like, how's it changed the character of the towns along the way?
Well, I don't know if you've know how familiar you are with Delray, downtown Boynton Beach, Boca Raton, Fort Lauderdale. These are relatively small towns that, as you can imagine, the train traveling in excess of 60, 70 miles an hour through these small towns, it's got to give your town a different appeal and a different feel. I can't imagine with 32 trains traveling a day through your community, it has to have some sort of effect on your quality of life and on your safety.
I imagine a lot of people move to these communities because the life is slower, maybe slower than it was back up in New Jersey or Chicago or New York or Boston when they left. Do you hear that complaint frequently?
Often, Rob, we hear that complaint all the time. And then we hear the other side of it. Well, you shouldn't live next to a railroad track. Well, we buy near a railroad corridor, anticipating freight rail, the few freight trains that pass through a day, but you did not anticipate or you did not expect to blend 32 high-speed passenger rail trains in along the same corridor. You increase the passenger rail, you increase the number of the cargo trains, you're going to have an upwards of, 40, 50 trains a day, blowing through your community.
We're talking with Brent Hanlon. He's the chair of CARE Florida. CARE is Citizens Against Rail Expansion. Brent, how'd you get involved in this?
Yeah, so Rob, we about in 2014, we learned of All Aboard Florida through, believe it or not, through an acquaintance of ours. A friend of mine approached me and asked me one day if what I know about All Aboard Florida and was I familiar with this high-speed passenger rail that's being proposed down in West Palm Beach and Miami and that will be going through to Orlando. And I knew very little of it, actually, at the time. So we formed a group down in northern Palm Beach County to get educated, if you will, on the effects of All Aboard Florida, on the impact it's going to have to our quality of life up here in Martin County. And we were concerned immediately. And we were very fortunate where we were able to form a committee of about 12 different people from northern Palm Beach County, Martin County, Indian River County. And we formed a group. We educated ourselves. Once we learned the impact of All Aboard Florida and what would it have on our property values and quality of life, and we felt we had to get involved and we had to fight All Aboard Florida. We oppose All Aboard Florida from day one, and our views have not changed ever since.
Brent, if the railroad were to pass through your towns, not at grade, but using an overpass, using some sort of elevated system, would that take away a lot of your objection to it?
It would certainly take away a lot of the risk to it, Rob. It would certainly take away a lot of the safety concerns that we have. Yeah, I mean, if we were able to have some sort of flyover over the intersections, replace our bridge up in the St. Lucie River that's over at about 100 years of age, that would certainly eliminate a lot of our concerns that we have.
So, Brent, one of the promises of Brightline is that it wouldn't use any tax dollars. I remember when the money for high-speed rail was rejected a few years ago by our governor. The governor said, look, we're going to have a new project, and it's not going to use any taxpayer dollars. Does Brightline rely on the taxpayers to be built?
Without a doubt. If you look at the train station that's since, I believe, empty up in Orlando, that $200 million-plus dollar train station was built, a beautiful modern train station was built with taxpayer money. If you look at what they're doing down in Miami today and look to the south of us, they're certainly spending taxpayer money to the south. Granted, they are making safety improvements and they're relocating some roads and things of that nature, but they are spending taxpayer money throughout the state of Florida for Brightline.
Brent, a lot of Republicans have come out against this. I noticed that when I get press releases from CARE, a lot of Republicans have signed on to this, including people like Ron DeSantis and others, Brian Mast, the congressman there from the East Coast. What do you make of that? I mean, is this a Republican-Democrat thing, or how would you describe?
No, not at all. I think they realize the impact that all of North Florida is going to have on the quality of life for those of us who live along this section, if you will. And I think they're just listening to their voters, and they understand that we have a real concern about public safety. And I believe, and I think they would agree with us, that they see the same concerns that we see.
So, Brent, one last question. That is, there's a proposal now to build a Brightline, or at least let Brightline bid on possibly building a rail line from Tampa to Orlando. It would affect Hillsborough County, certainly, Orange County, and Polk County especially. If you were living over here, what questions would you want to ask before giving your consent to allowing something like that to be built over here?
Well, I think one of the biggest questions, of course, Rob, is safety. Also, I would be sure that you clearly understand what the impact of this rail is going to have on the future of your towns and your tax dollars. You know, they'll come in and they'll make changes to the rail crossings, but you, the taxpayers, are responsible for the upkeep of those at-grade crossings going forward. So that's an ongoing burden to the taxpayers of the Tampa area, if you will. So that's something I would certainly be cautious of. I would also be very cautious of the promises that they make. You know, the positive train control. I would not allow one train to pass west of Orlando without positive train control being implemented throughout that corridor.
What does that mean? What does that mean, positive train control?
Positive train control is a mechanism that we have today available to all the rails lines in our country that notifies the conductor of anything that might be hindering the tracks at all. If there's a vehicle stuck on a track somewhere, if there's a truck, if there's somebody who may be crossing the path and maybe in front of the train, if there's a broken mechanism at a train crossing, it would notify the conductor to stop the train. Much like if the train is traveling too fast, it would also automatically slow the train down. So and by the way, this is the FDOT mandate PTC is installed. And Brightline has neglected to meet the mandate of the FDOT. They have said that they are running about 6 months behind along the first corridor down in Miami to West Palm Beach. But I don't see why any train, certainly a new train, would be running along a corridor without the implementation of the PTC.
And Brent, would there be any other questions that you would ask Brightline before giving your consent or saying, okay, it's a good idea?
Well, I would ask them to evaluate all the bridges. I would ask them to, just be aware of the safety concerns it's going to cause those people who live along the corridor on the West Coast.
And Brent, are there any Brightline trains running from West Palm up to Orlando?
There are none. When we first got engaged with this project in 14, well, we were told then that by 2016-17, we could expect to see trains running between West Palm Beach and Orlando. Today I've read it's between 2021-2022. So I don't think anyone really knows, including Brightline, as to when trains will start actually transporting people between West Palm Beach and Orlando. But I would tell you, it's not anytime soon.
Well, Brent, thanks for coming on WMNF. Is there anything else you would like to point out or that you think that folks who are living on the West Coast need to know about this Brightline rail project?
Rob, I would implore your listening audience to get involved, to learn about the effects all over Florida is going to have in your communities. Unfortunately, for a lot of us on the East Coast, a lot of people learned of this project too late. The folks down in Delray, Boynton Beach, Boca Raton, Fort Lauderdale, Miami even, they learned of this project when it was essentially too late. So get involved, learn the effects all over Florida is going to have on your quality of life, understand the safety impacts that this train is going to the effects that this train is going to have on your safety, and really ask a lot of questions.
And Brent, what's a website for Citizens Against Rail Expansion?
Thank you. It's at saveourfl.com, saveourflorida.com.
Brent Hanlon, thanks a lot for coming on WMNF.
Thank you, Rob, and thank you for your time.
That's Brent Hanlon, chair of the group Citizens Against Rail Expansion. He's over in Martin County on the east coast of Florida. Last Friday, Governor Rick Scott announced that he's going to take bids to build a private high-speed rail link between Tampa and Orlando. Previously, Governor Rick Scott had turned down money to build a publicly owned rail, high-speed rail between Tampa and Orlando and Miami. He did that during the Obama administration. As we heard in that interview with Brent Hanlon, that there are major questions about whether or not what's being proposed is actually high-speed rail, whether it would be safe, and whether or not taxpayers would be carrying any of the weight. Adam writes this regarding that interview. He says, I hear this guy doing a lot of complaining about rail. He keeps mentioning accidents. There are car accidents everywhere all the time. Should we ban cars? What is his solution then, and what does he want? We need high-speed rail in Florida, and it's long overdue. He said, I'm tired of the fear-mongering about money and safety concerns, writes Adam. And then David writes this, thanks for bringing your guest on today. I think that Martin County has sour grapes because there's no station being built between West Palm and Orlando, but I'm perplexed as to why that is and why not build a station in Brevard County. And then David goes on to write, one interesting thing, Florida East Coast Railway is the parent company of Brightline, and FECR is the ancestor of the Flagler Rail Company. That's a lot of history and a lot of power wrapped up in one company, writes David. And our phone number is 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. Jamal writes regarding positive train control. That is not how positive train control works. Jamal writes, PTC would not be able to recognize any random obstacles. It's meant to slow speeding trains or bring them to a stop automatically independent of the engineer, writes Jamal. We're going to change topics a bit and talk about the huge news yesterday that Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy is retiring. And we're going to open the phone lines and take your phone calls about that. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Just reading from the Associated Press, nothing could have shifted the political landscape more than this. Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy's retirement, President Donald Trump's pledge to move quickly to fill the seat, guarantee a searing summer of charged rhetoric that could touch on virtually every hot-button issue and cultural issue in American politics. The news was especially deflating for Democrats, who felt immediate flashbacks to the 2016 presidential election when the tantalizing prospects of an open Supreme Court seat, I'm just going to turn the page here, the tantalizing prospects of an open Supreme Court seat spurred some GOP voters to back Trump, even if they found him personally objectionable. It was a dramatic shift for Democrats, who had been optimistic about seizing the House majority, if not the Senate. Some of the most dejected responded on social media with obscenities. Others teased a political strategy by warning of severe consequences for health care and abortion rights should Trump have his way. We got a call early this morning here at WMNF about Justice Kennedy stepping down. Here's what that listener said. Let's listen in on this.
I'm just calling to say that what's going on at the Supreme Court has got me really down and depressed, and I hope your station is going to have programs locking on to every step of what's going on at the Supreme Court, every movement going on, because they're just killing us over there, and everything's going against what I believe is right and proper in this world. And anyway, the U.S. Supreme Court, I just hope you cover it, please, very, very carefully. Thank you. Goodbye.
Oh, there was a despondent listener calling into WMNF this morning and leaving that message on the comment line. Well, we're going to open up the phone lines and take your comments about Justice Kennedy stepping down. This week and last week, there were several major conservative opinions issued by the court, including opinions that will hurt unions and opinions against the pro-choice position. There were other decisions, too, that really had at least the progressives very, very angry. So we could talk about that. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. The same opinions cheered conservatives, too. Let's listen in on what Bernie Sanders told CNN last night when he was on for a few minutes with Anderson Cooper about the Kennedy retirement.
Kennedy's announcement, earth-shaking, gut-wrenching. Our Jeff Toobin says in 18 months, abortion will be illegal in some 20 states. Is this potentially the end of Roe v. Wade?
Well, you know, it's ironic. The polling is very clear that the overwhelming majority of the American people support Roe versus Wade. We have differences of opinion on abortion, but the idea of overturning Roe versus Wade would be a decision that reflects only a small minority of the American people. So I hope very much that the next nominee to the fourth Supreme Court does not hold that position. But the bottom line is this is obviously an enormously, enormously important issue. Everything to do with women's rights, having to do with gay rights, having to do with solidifying the pro-corporate, anti-worker wing of the Supreme Court.
Do you have any confidence that President Trump would appoint somebody to your liking? I mean, it certainly seems that, you know, he did publish a list during the campaign of potential nominees. Gorsuch was on that list, and he's indicated this next one will come from that list as well.
No, I have no hope that he will appoint anything resembling a moderate or a justice who will take both sides into consideration. I think what we're looking for is the nomination of a right-wing extremist. I would say this, Anderson. You may recall that when Merrick Garland's nomination was brought forth by President Obama, Mitch McConnell said, let the American people decide. You shouldn't be considering this important nomination just before an election. And he obstructed it and refused to allow a vote to take place. I would say to Mitch McConnell, remember what you said when Obama was president. Let the American people have a vote in November as to whether or not they want to overturn Roe versus Wade, whether they want to allow discrimination against the gay and lesbian community, whether or not they want votes to make life harder for the working people of this country. Remember what you said when Obama was president. And the second point that I would make, Anderson, is that we have some, few, very few, but we have some Republicans here in the Senate who believe that it should be a woman who controls her own body and not the state or federal government. And I hope that they will work with those of us who hold that position in opposition to any nominee who wants to take away that basic right that women should have.
On what you said about Mitch McConnell, your Democratic Senate colleagues have been accusing McConnell of hypocrisy. If the shoe, though, was on the other foot and Justice Kennedy retired under a Democratic president and a Democratic Congress just before midterms, wouldn't Democrats also push to get a new nominee through?
Well, I think you need some consistency here. I mean, we have the most recent example, and that is President Obama nominated an individual to the Supreme Court. By the way, a pretty moderate guy. And the Republican leadership said, no, we're not going to let you vote on him. We should have an election first. So all I would say here is that I would hope that Mitch McConnell remembers what he said when Obama was president.
If it does not go the way you would like it to go, and Roe v. Wade is overturned by the Supreme Court, and it is made illegal in as many as 20 states, as Jeff Toobin mentioned, how big a drive do you think that will be for the left, for all people who are supportive of the right to have an abortion?
I think it would be a very important factor in bringing people out to the polls. There are differences of opinion in this country about abortion, when abortion should be legal or not. I'm very strongly pro-choice. But as I said earlier, the vast majority of the people believe that Roe versus Wade is the law of the land and should remain the law of the land. And I think that if Trump nominates somebody who wants to undo that constitutional right that women now have, you're going to see a massive uprising on the part of people all over this country, not just women, but men who think that that decision should be left to women and not to the government.
And just finally, I want to ask you about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's primary win in New York last night. She's a Democratic socialist, aligned with you on many issues. Minority Leader Pelosi says this is just one choice in one district. People shouldn't get carried away. Is this just one choice in one district? Is it larger than that? How do you see it?
I think it is larger than that. I think if you look at what happened in Maryland last night, Ben Jealous won a very strong victory, taking on much of the Democratic establishment in Maryland, campaigning on Medicare for all, raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour, legalizing marijuana, making public colleges and universities tuition-free, demanding the wealthy stop paying more in taxes. So I think what you are seeing both in New York City with Alexandria, in Maryland with Ben, are strong candidates running grassroots campaigns on a progressive agenda. And I think when you have that combination, you're going to see more and more victories all across this country.
Senator Bernie Sanders, appreciate your time. Thanks.
That was Bernie Sanders last night on CNN, giving his views on the resignation of Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy. So what do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Several commentators, including Jeffrey Toobin on CNN, saying that this will be the end of Roe versus Wade. That's because President Trump has promised to appoint only people who oppose the Roe decision of the U.S. Supreme Court. And should the GOP hold a vote before the election, or should it wait until the new Senate gets seated after the election? What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. And are you as despondent as we heard that caller earlier that we played just before Bernie Sanders? Let's go to Gina, who's in Tampa. Gina, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts today?
Hi. Well, I tell you, more than despondent, I'm extremely worried, because look at the rash of decisions that have come down. They've all been 5-4, 5-4, 5-4, and they're not in favor of workers. They're not in favor of, I don't think there have been any, pro-choice decisions, but they don't bode well for your average American and the way most Americans feel these days. I think that President Trump is going to name someone to the court, and he's got 2 years left to go. He's going to do it. So the only way, people who aren't on the far right can have any say at all, and they think they should wait because of what they did to President Obama, that outrageous, thing, I think they should wait. But the only way we can, Democrats can have any kind of say, or progressives, is to vote in the midterms. I mean, it's never been more important to vote in the midterms and get a Democratic majority there. I mean, there's no filibuster. There's no way anyone can hold up a really bad nominee. Look at who he's nominated to the Supreme Court. They've been chosen on the basis of ideology and not qualifications. I mean, qualifications, that just went out the window. And he's got a couple on his list from the newly chosen, federal judges. So, and particularly in Florida, if people don't want a far right winger making a choice that's going to be ideologically opposed to what most people in America think, don't vote for Rick Scott, for God's sake. That's just one, you know, one person, but of the midterms, it's so important to vote. And you know, because the majority party in Congress is not representative of the will of the people. He's going to choose someone. He's going to put someone on the court.
Yes. All right. Gina,
don't
thanks.
Don't want to be a lunatic. You got to vote in the midterm.
All right, Gina.
Okay,
thanks
you.
A lot. There's Gina. She says we should wait. The vote should not be held before the election. What do you think? And will this be the end of Roe v. Wade? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Dave in Palm Harbor wants to comment about the train interview. Dave, what would you like to say about that interview?
Hey, Rob, I'm glad you had him on. I thought he raised some interesting issues. A little bit of it sounded like not in my backyard, but the bigger point to me is that we should have had this conversation about 7 years ago, or at least started it about 7 or 8 years ago, when the Obama administration offered the money to Florida to begin the project. And Rick Scott turned it down for purely partisan reasons, and he used, you know, tax money as a fig leaf. Anybody who has been around long enough to ride on a bus or drive on a road understands that we use tax dollars for public transport, for transportation projects, whether it's air or road or rail. We use it all the time. It's almost unavoidable. It's an investment. You know, you improve commerce. You invest in roadways and ports and airports and interstate highways so that commerce can move more efficiently, and you generate more tax revenue that way. This argument that Rick Scott trotted out there was purely a fig leaf to deny the Obama administration the right to claim some progress in the state of Florida. And I drove over to Orlando last Saturday. It took me 3 hours.
Yeah, that drive is horrible. Let me just
it's
give
awful.
You some, Dave, let me just give you some numbers, too, that didn't come up in that interview. All Aboard Florida, which is the Brightline project that exists over on the East Coast, it applied for $1.6 billion in publicly subsidized federal loans in 2013. Now, I'm getting this from the CARE group. CARE also says that in 2014, All Aboard Florida applied for $1.75 billion in tax-exempt federal bonds at a cost to taxpayers of up to $600 million, and that the state of Florida, the legislature, gave this project $213 million for construction of a facility at Orlando International Airport, a train station there. The governor is saying that this new project will not use tax dollars. Well, that's not the record of the current project.
That's a lie.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something else about I-4. I read recently it is the most lethal highway in the United States. The fatality rate per mile on I-4 is greater than any other road in the United States. And I want people listening to this to understand that Rick Scott denied money to this state to solve that problem. There are people dying out there on that road because he wouldn't accept money to begin a rail project, which has been sorely needed for a decade in the state.
All right, Dave, thanks a lot. Thanks for your comments.
Thank you.
All right, great to hear from you. Let's go to Dan in St. Pete. You're listening to a live show here on WMNF in Tampa, where we've kind of switched gears and gone from rail to the U.S. Supreme Court and the big change at the Supreme Court with Anthony Kennedy resigning. Let's go to Dan in St. Pete. Hi, Dan, you're on. What would you like to comment about?
Well, Rob, man, these two topics are fantastic, but what do you really think? I mean, what's your opinion on this stuff?
Well, just listen to the data, Dan. Listen to the data, and then make up your own mind. I mean, I don't like to spin. I don't like to tell people what to think. I like to present data and facts and let you make up your own mind.
All right. Well, the president gets to nominate the next Supreme Court guy, and then this guy complaining about rail, he's out of his mind because, I mean, this is what everybody wants. And, of course, if you live by a railroad track, it sucks. It's just too bad. But how about everybody else that can use the train? And, of course, you're going to use public dollars. But this is both plans have got to go like they're supposed to go.
And when the governor said last Friday that no public dollars will be used?
Well, that's a lie.
Well, then, shouldn't we check that? Shouldn't we check that lie, Dan?
Development around these rail stops.
Yeah, but, Dan, shouldn't we check that lie?
Well, listen, I mean, he said, you know, they'll have to maintain the tracks, the public dollars.
Well, they're building train stations with your tax dollars here in Florida. They're taking away money from public schools, and they're building a train station at the Orlando airport for this private company.
We want a train to come to Tampa. Everybody
does. Okay, well, that's, then that's good. That's your position. I think it's great.
Yeah, well, that's what the whole thing is, right? Rail. No Lexus lane. I mean, this is just a gobbledygook everybody's spilling out.
Okay. All right, Dan, thank you so much.
Okay.
All right. I hesitate to give much of my opinion. I'd much rather hear your opinion. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Gary in Dunedin. Gary, what's on your mind today?
Hey, man, thanks for bringing this topic up and for playing Bernie. So let's just review before the supposedly somewhat moderate Kennedy retired, what SCOTUS did in the last 2 weeks. First of all, they made a ruling that will help destroy public employee labor unions. Second, the majority wrote a totally dishonest justification for Trump's Muslim immigration ban. Third, they affirmed the right of fake women's health clinics to mislead women into thinking that they're going to get a full range of reproductive options and information, when actually those clinics are adoption mills that are anti-abortion. The Supreme Court affirmed the right of those people to do that. They legalized gerrymandering. They legalized religious against gay people. They legalized the removal of legitimate voters just because those voters hadn't voted in a while and didn't return a postcard. And that was with Kennedy on the court. You know what's going to happen if Trump picks a right-wing anti-abortion person. Roe will be overturned, and the Supreme Court will continue to be a Koch brothers-sponsored court. Now, here's the rays of hope. The rays of hope is that Congress can do whatever they want to the Supreme Court. They can increase the number of justices, they can decrease the number, and they can impeach justices. I totally believe that, especially with Gorsuch, that some of these justices are bought and paid for and have conflicts of interest and are just agents of the billionaire elites. And I hope that everyone will push for as many progressives as can be put into Congress and push Congress to do whatever it takes to stop the Supreme Court from always ruling in favor of the wealthy elites that sponsor them.
All right, Gary, thanks a lot. Thanks for your brother. Comments. At the top of this segment of the interview, I asked, will this be the end of Roe versus Wade, and should the GOP hold a vote on the new Supreme Court nominee before the election, or should it wait until the new Senate is seated? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Mike, who's in Tampa. Hey, Mike, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, thank you. Great show. I just wanted to throw out some numbers and let this sink in. People in our country have turned complaining into a national sport here, but we have close to, I think, 400 million people in this country, at least half of which are eligible to vote. And I want these numbers to sink in. 69 million people chose the president of this country. That says a lot about us.
Yeah, that's an important number. The biggest party is the non-voting party, right?
Yeah, a lack of participation, but we love to complain. People, get out there and vote. You want this to change? Get out there and vote. Have a great day, man.
All right, Mike. Thanks a lot. Thanks for those numbers. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Let's go to Rod in Largo. Hey, Rod, you're on WMNF. What would you like to say?
Well, the thing with the Supreme Court was what I was going to talk about. I believe that they do want to turn over and the Roe v. Wade, and I believe Trump will probably try to nominate somebody from as far right as humanly possible, which this will be the second one for him to do. I don't believe it's right. I think what's good for the goose is good for the gander that Mitch McConnell did with President Obama, even though there was a year left, denying him a vote and believing that people should have a pick. Of course, I know that won't be the same rhetoric this time around. He had already been on yesterday saying they were going to do something in the fall, put out a vote or something. So I just think that I don't know what's going on with all this with Trump and this. I think this country is, hopefully we can rebound from everything after he's out of office. I just think it's a travesty.
Okay, Ron, thanks a lot. Thanks for your comments. Good to hear from you. Tony writes this. He's in St. Pete. He said, essentially, we've had a bloodless coup by the far right in this country that lasted more than 20 years. From Bush versus Gore in 2000 to Citizens United to the Electoral College elect of minority vote Trump with possible Russian interference and ignoring Obama's nominee for the Supreme Court, little has been done to fight back. Think frogs slowly boiling in a pan. If voters in the 25 to 60 age group don't get more politically active right now and make their stand clear, a democratic and free U.S. will be a thing of history, writes Tony. 813-239-9663. You know, the other question I have is, do you think that Democrats famously, according to their party, often fail to show a backbone when really pressing issues arise? For instance, when President Obama's nominee to the U.S. Supreme Court was stopped in the last year of President Obama's term, the Democrats didn't get very angry and didn't energize or organize their voters to try to put pressure on Republicans. Do you think this year Democrats will grow a spine? What do you think? 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Pete in Plant City says the federal government has no power over licenses, marriage, or anything to do with abortion, writes Pete in Plant City. He says states are reserved these powers. It's terrifying to hear how little people understand the SCOTUS's place in our republic constitution. That's Peter in Plant City. Well, I do think that the opening to safe and legal abortion happened with the Roe v. Wade decision. Before that, we had back alley abortions. So, Pete, I'm not sure you're exactly right on that. Adam writes this, of course the Senate should wait. Half the people who vote to confirm the new justice probably won't even be there after November, writes Adam. James writes, I agree we need to vote in the midterm like our freedom depends on it, because it does, but damage is done. Trump will get his pick and nothing can change that. We have to get new blood in leadership for Democrats, some members with spine and guts to speak up, writes James. All right, let's take some more phone calls. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. I'm Rob Lori. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. And let's go to Bobby, who wants to talk about high-speed rail. Bobby in Tampa, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, the gentleman who spoke about wanting to get a train. There's an issue of practicality involved in this. Case in point. If you put the train station at the Tampa Airport and the Orlando Airport, the issue becomes economic usage. Case in point, say a family in Tampa wants to take their kids to Disney. What you end up having to do is put the kids in the car, get to the train, pay for parking. Let's even assume the one-way ticket's $10. So parking is going to cost you $35 for the day, or 20, call it $25, $40 for the one-way ticket over. Then you've got to get from the Orlando airport to Disney via some way, and there is nothing but, you know, taxi cabs or Uber or Lyft or whatever you can do, or rent a car. There's an additional expense. And then you've got to pay for it to come back. So at the end of the day, what you're talking about is transport over and back to Orlando for a family of four, for specifically what I talked about, is going to run you in the neighborhood of almost $100. So that's just for transportation.
Yeah, but Bobby, is really deep into speculation. We don't know what the ultimate system would be, but would it be fair to say that we've got a traffic problem on I-4? And that traffic problem exists in part because we don't have high-speed rail linking Tampa and Orlando. And Governor Rick Scott turned down $2.5 billion to help build the high-speed rail link to Orlando from here, from the Tampa Bay area. And was that a wise decision? I mean, whether, you know, I think there are all sorts of problems, that so-called last-mile problem, all sorts of problems with trains. But would we be better off today had we accepted that $2.5
billion? I don't think so. A, today, it still wouldn't have been built.
Okay.
I mean, you're talking about a 7 or 8 year project
yep.
with the thing in operation, number one. Number two, if you don't have fiscal studies to understand who would use it and what the infrastructure is going to be, the thing is going to sit empty, but yet taxpayer dollars are going to have to maintain.
Well, I mean, you know, you probably miss all those shows that we did on high-speed rail, but private contractors, private companies would bid to run the system, and it would be up to them to fill the trains and then pay the state back for the rights. Bobby, I hate to do it, but this is so into the weeds, and we've got a big issue with the Supreme Court, so I'm going to move on. But I promise we'll talk about transportation a whole lot on this station, I promise.
Well, listen, a lot of the conservatives think Roe versus Wade is the way to get across the lake.
Okay, Bobby, thanks a lot. And let's go to Cheryl in Gulfport. Hi, Cheryl, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. Right now, I've been an environmentalist. I worked on Sierra Club, this and that, all this stuff. But right now, with this Supreme Court, this president and administration and his cronies that have been indicted, to me, my focus is totally on changing the direction of this country through the election if they're going to be monitored. One other thing about not only the abortion issue, but the double jeopardy, like Michael Cohen, okay? Take Michael Cohen. He has federal charges against him all over the books. He's also got charges in New York. So now, Supreme Court wants to deliberate on the double jeopardy and maybe overturn it. Now, this is real tricky stuff. You know, people don't pay attention to this kind of thing. But, now, so Trump could pardon a bunch of these people. Now, if they had overturned this double jeopardy, then they have to go to court or be served any time in New York.
Yeah. Well, you know, and sure, we're kind of losing it because you have a bad phone connection, but we hear you. The court could overturn double jeopardy. It might figure out a way to dismiss the state charges.
Cronies.
Yeah. So, all right, Cheryl, thanks a lot. Thanks for the phone call.
Did you get the overall message?
Yeah, we got it. Cheryl, thanks a lot. Great to hear from you. And let's go to Vivian in Tampa. Hi, Vivian. What are your thoughts?
Yes, I just wanted to say that the Republicans and the little percentage of Trump's follower, what they really want is to create apartheid here in the United States.
And why do you say that?
Why? Because they are trying to get rid of all the minorities. They want to still be in control. The whites want to be in control in the government with a, you know.
Do you think they really want to get rid of the minorities, or do they want to just keep them from voting or, you know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
What I really, really think is they want to get, yes, maybe the minorities, but because, you know, we don't have that much capital power or status, but they really want to get rid of the youth and the Jew power.
The youth power?
No, Jewish.
Jewish power.
Right.
Who wants to get rid of the Jewish power? All right.
Can I ask you a question? Who was the president? I'm not sure if it was Clinton or Bush that put sanctions on South Africa because of the apartheid?
That's a good question. I think it was Clinton. It wasn't, I think it was Reagan or Bush, but I think it was Clinton that did that. Vivian, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
All right, thank you. Bill in St. Pete says, with the election of Obama resulting in the rise of the Tea Party and neo-fascist white hate groups, I no longer understand the country I was born and raised in. Back in the day, I knew being born white in the U.S. to a well-off family, I had won the global jackpot. With current events, I no longer feel so lucky, writes Bill in St. Pete. And then Chip says people are dying on I-4 as a result of speeding and reckless driving, both of which are epidemic and can be changed, writes Chip. And a Bill in Pinellas Park says the only option for high speed from Orlando to Tampa should be monorail in the median that the state already owns. Well, if you want to comment about anything on today's show, you can call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. And we'll play those comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Stay tuned. Coming up next, we're going to hear the Tom Hartman radio program in the next hour. And then in the 1 o'clock hour, you'll hear Executive Session. You're listening to 88.5 FM. This is WMNF Tampa St. Petersburg. We're going to go up to Washington, D.C. right now and get the latest news.